Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Everybody, welcome to New Life Live. And every year I get a new word, and I want to share my new word, my favorite word, the word I'm going to use a lot this year. I'm going to share it with Dr. Alice Benton and Mylon Yurkovich. Hi, guys.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I've got a word.
Yeah.
It came up several times in 2018. It's nothing new to anybody, but I just find it so helpful. I'm going to use it. I'm going to claim it as my my word for this year. It's the word tricky.
Tricky.
Now, last time I preached, I did a magic trick at the end, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there are things in life that just kind of the best way to describe it is, well, they're tricky. You know, you want to help a friend. Here's a tricky one. You want to help a friend who has a weight problem. Now, that's tricky.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just kind of, you could say, well, it's uncomfortable or whatever. But I tell you, there are some sticky and some tricky situations, and we want to help you with those. And I'm going to be dealing with that all year long. Tricky. And if I'll tell you, if there's something in your life a little bit tricky, we want to help you with that. And you can get that help by calling us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. For instance, when you get a gift, like I got a gift at Christmas, it was a little bit tricky when I got that gift. I didn't know really what to say. I didn't know why. I didn't know really what it was for. Was there a story I missed or something like that that I forgot about? But it was tricky. And so, you know, like my neighbor said, when the other neighbor brought over their ugly baby, he said, wow, that is some baby. You sometimes, that is some gift there. Wow, that is something. Anyway, we do have a lot of tricky situations in life, too, and it's not easy. So that's my word. And if you've got something tricky you want to share, it's 1-800-NEWLIFE. We got people on the line. But right now, we're going to go to the phones because people have been waiting to talk to us today. Let's talk to Carl, Dallas, Texas, one of my favorite towns there. KWRD is the station. Hey, Carl, how are you?
Fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
1st of October, I informed my wife about a long-term pornography usage that I had been doing. And
you told her in October.
But I possibly think that she might be unable to handle it, and it may have caused a split in her personality. What can I do to help her?
Okay, so when you told her, did she catch you, or you just decided I needed to share this with her? Tell us a little bit about that, the incident of sharing.
Well, we've been having some problems, and she was reacting, and I didn't think she really knew why, but I was I had decided that what she was really reacting to was what she didn't know was that I had been using pornography.
For how long?
So I told her about that.
How long had you been using
it? The first week it was a surprise because she was very forgiving, and but it has slowly gone downhill from that, and she's become almost like a different person. She's very angry, not all the time, but frequently.
How long had you been using pornography?
I had been using it for about 15 15 years, and I lost a job over this 2.5 years ago. Hmm. I stopped using pornography at that point, but I did continue to have fantasies and continued.
You hold on. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize.
Yeah. We're going
to
go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're talking with Carl. Told his wife he'd been using pornography for 15 years. She obviously had no idea and has produced a rather radical reaction. Now, Carl, one more question, then I'm going to turn this off. I'll start with Mylan. But when you told her, did you tell her you were going to do anything about it? You were going to get help, or you were what was that like, that revelation of the pornography?
At that time, because I had lost a job over it, it really had changed my feelings toward it because of that, a very shameful thing that I caused on myself. The other part, I stopped when I told her, and it seems like both things, one of the key things that helped me was basically not hiding the sin that I had been prior to that.
Yeah, but
now
but
I do have an accountability partner now.
Good.
And I have another guy that's a prayer partner that I'm meeting with, and I've been reading and going through several books over the issues too.
All right, well, I'm going to leave it at that, and I'm going to turn it over to Mylan because Mylan and Kay both, they're dealing with this rupture of the relationship, and it sounds like this has really, really ruptured your relationship. Mylan, where do you go first here?
It's to give the other person permission to go through what we call a normal or common cycle of grief, where they're hearing information for the first time and it affects them in a powerful way. Usually, Carl, over time, it's not just something that happens in one day or 1 minute or 1 hour. But what happens is people are shocked by a piece of information and they sort of have to grapple with even hearing it and accepting that this is a piece of news that represents a loss to them. And they can even deny it. They can be in states where they want to bargain and talk their way out of it. But eventually, a part of the loss cycle or grief cycle, when I hear something that's really unpleasant or represents a tragedy in my life, is I get angry. And it happens later, usually. It can happen, a week, like you said, a week later, she's now angry. And it's not a split personality. Rather, it's a very common response. And then after a person is angry for a while, then they grieve and they actually cry and they lament. And then sometimes they cycle back to the anger again. And so my comment, Carl, I'm so proud of you for wanting to share with her your story and really get clean on this whole topic. In front of the Lord, in front of yourself, and with accountability partners, with your wife. I mean, it's just awesome. But she needs time to react to it. You've been dealing with it in your head for a long time. It's not new news to you. It's old news. But to her, it's brand new. And she has to have time to react to that.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that we do here is we do a whole weekend for women called Restore, mm-hmm. so that they can come to grips with what it means and what it doesn't mean. You know, I think the first reaction of a woman is that this invalidates the entire relationship.
Yeah.
And in reality, it doesn't. This was part of the relationship, but especially in the area of men, where we compartmentalize, this doesn't mean that there wasn't true love there in the midst of, you know, this betrayal and this deception. And so she needs a resource. She needs help to see this the way we try to help people. And so that's one thing. But the other thing is, you need to say to her that you see the reaction, and that you are so, not that, hey, you're overreacting, but that you see it and you hurt so deeply for her. Connect with her reaction rather than try to minimize it or rationalize it or explain it or defend yourself or whatever, or try to fix her. Just live with her in this pain and this suffering, where she's literally, I think most women, believing that the whole relationship was a fraud. When in reality, there was a part of it that was broken. Not all of it was broken. But you're going to have to be one loving, kind, patient, gentle man. And I think Mylon's gotten you on the right track here. This is going to take a lot of time for her to deal with it. Alice, anything you want to add here?
Just a little bit more about the possible perspective of your wife, Carl, mm-hmm. that her reality has been upended. Mm-hmm. So what for you is cathartic and cleansing, that you're getting honest, you're getting clean. It might even be exciting for you that finally you're finding freedom. And it's almost like her freedom is being ripped away from her as this truth is weighing so heavily on her. It doesn't surprise me that within about a week, things started to change. I see this so often with the couples with whom I work as well, because what probably went along with your pornography, or at least she's starting to make some assumptions and questions about this, all the lying, the hiding, the use of money, the use of your time. I mean, her mind might be going so fast, going through all these years you've been together of, oh, now what does this mean about everything else about our relationship? It's called betrayal trauma, and she is in a state of trauma and shock. So it can sound like pornography, not that big of a deal. It wasn't even an adulterous relationship with another woman. But truly, and from a biblical perspective, it is adultery. So for her, right, she's finding out about relationships you've had with other women for 15 years. It's going to take a while for her mind to be able to wrap around this. So I'd caution you on putting that split personality disorder label out there, especially yeah. to her. I think that would really anger and upset her. And you're right. Sometimes when we are faced with trauma, part of us does split off. That does happen. So it's a possibility, but I don't think the label will help her. So putting yourself in her shoes like that and trying to understand that this is a completely new reality to her, and it's an ugly, scary reality for her, will assist her in her healing process.
To say things like, I feel like I've destroyed her life, I've lost her over this, I want to get her back, it's so different than some kind of a label that, you know, might really be offensive to her. So I think Alice is really helping you there. You want to be very careful about that. And I'll tell you, anything you can do to repair character and show her that you want to be the man that she thought she was married to all these years, that's going to go a long way in putting this relationship back where we want to see it go, because it can be fixed, it can be healed, it can be restored. And if you guys could get yourself to that February 15th Intimacy in Marriage Weekend, it would really be powerful. Anybody else, you can find out about it, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'm going to send you Every Man's Battle. I didn't hear that you had been through it, but I'll send it to you with the workbook. And I'll send you two copies of it so that you and those guys can get together and work through it together. All right, let's go over here to, how about we talk with Sally, Portland, Oregon, listening online. Hi, Sally. How are you?
Hi. I'm I'm doing okay. I'm feeling better since I've been listening to you guys, mm-hmm. actually.
Well, that's good, because, man, it'd be horrible if you felt worse, wouldn't it? But we're glad you called, and want to know how we might be able to help you here.
Well, I called out of desperation, and now that I've been, you know, listening to you and gathering my thoughts, I feel like, I think the heart of the matter is that, I think a technical question would be maybe some, if there is some kind of, from your perspective, ways to build closer relationships. I'm an outgoing person, and I have no problem, you know, with the surface stuff, but it's going deeper and mm-hmm. making those really connecting, you know, where, you know, like you can go over to someone's house and eat, or I don't know what it is. And then, yeah. But I've been struggling with it to the point where I've been seeking help, and it's really not working. And in fact, it's, in my opinion, it's getting worse, because I can see it reflecting in my family. For example, okay. last night I came home from work, and my husband and my son, they were relaxing in the living room. But they were, you know, they were doing whatever they were doing. I don't know. But mm-hmm. when I came home, they kind of like barely said hi to me, barely looked at me. And then they kind of dispersed, and they went to different parts of the house, and they were, you know, doing whatever they were doing. And as I tried to go in and connect with my son, and then he was just, I don't know, like lately he's been kind of like, telling me he needs his privacy and his space, and that mm-hmm. he's...
How old is he now?
He's six.
Okay.
And well, he says he's happy when I go to work, and that, you know. And then so when I tried to ask him, I'm like, you know, like, is everything okay? I know he's six, but, you know, I like you, Mommy, but I like it better when you're gone. And it's kind of like it really hurts my feelings, you know. And, and when my husband, when he leaves, instead of, like, trying to engage with me, you know, it hurts my feelings, you know, that.
Okay.
Like, it's...
Well, let's turn this over to Alice.
It's just echoing.
I want Alice to respond to this as a mother and as a psychologist both. What do you think, Alice?
Oh, Sally, to hear from your son, I like it better when you're gone. Oh, that might just cut you right to the core, especially as you're trying to work on this problem and fix it. If we were to ask your husband and son, what is it about Sally that makes it easier when she's gone? Do you have any idea what they would answer?
You know, like, I don't know what they would say, but sometimes I get this thought in my head that if I was to, like, leave, like, they wouldn't even miss me. It's like I have no presence, you know, in their life. Like, I really feel like I'm just a ghost, like, floating around the earth, you know. And it's not just reflective in my husband and my son's relationship. It's throughout all my relationships, you know. I don't feel like I'm a part of anything reciprocal, you know. And I really do feel like I put the effort into my relationships, and
so
I try to
Sally,
make time.
This must be so confusing then, and we hear your loneliness, and you don't know why it's so difficult to connect with people. I want to circle back to what you said about you're seeking help and it's not working. If you're early on if it's therapy that you're receiving, therapy tends to reveal problems that we haven't been looking at, that we haven't been dealing with. And so we can actually feel a bit worse before we feel better, as we really face some ugly truths about our life or what we have been through. So that's not an uncommon experience. Now, if that continues, then I'd have you evaluate, is this particular therapeutic relationship working, or should I move on to something else? But when we start to heal, it can also unbalance the homeostasis, the status quo in our family. So if we start to do healthier things as we learn them in therapy and apply them in our family life, it can actually be off-putting to our family members, even though we're getting healthier. I don't know how much of that applies to you. So what I would encourage you to do is some fact gathering, to go to people in your life who know you well and who you can trust to give you truth, hopefully with a good amount of grace, to say, what is it about me that might be rubbing people wrong? Am I overly critical? Do I dominate? Do I pursue people too much? What is it about me? Because the answers of your loved ones, of the people in your life, well, you can take those back to your therapist and start working on whatever that is. And it takes a lot of courage to look at yourself as you're doing now, and that will benefit your son and your husband. It's an invaluable gift that you can give them.
Mylon, what could she expect from her husband to try to not devalue her? I mean, it seems like to me a man needs to step up in a situation like this and show the boy the value of the mother, not be excited that he likes me better than her.
Mm-hmm. Well, Alice asked a very good question. The self-reflection is what we're asking here is, how do I come across? And, you know, the husband may not know either. I mean, he may have the same feelings the son does. Oftentimes a person carries a presence with them that is off-putting or causes people to feel on guard or caution when that person walks nearby. I do have a thought after the break. We're getting ready to go to a break in just a moment. But stay on the line, Sally, and we'll come back.
We'll be back after this.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity, because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Really tough situation here. And Mylon, you've got some comments on invisibility and all sorts of things here.
Sally, thanks again for your call. I really appreciate it. And I value some of your very good and insightful observations and the ability to describe what's going on. So thank you so much. Sally, when did you, if ever, start to feel like a ghost around others? Or was there a time in your life where others made you feel ghost-like, like we don't see Sally? And I'm just trying to figure out if this is a new phenomenon or experience or something that's been with you for a while before you ever knew your husband.
No, it's been going on for, like, ever since I can remember. I think I learned how to live with it, you know, for a while. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that vibe where, like, if there's a room, you know, and you know how people, they talk, and if I wanted to, like, if I was excited about the conversation or I wanted to say something, it was almost as if I'm not there. And even if I tried to talk, no one can hear me. And so I just decide not to talk, you know, and I feel like it's always been like that. And so I kind of gravitated more towards one-on-one relationships because then I can, you know, like there can be a little bit of a back and
sure.
forth. But I have a really hard time getting myself into relationships that are reciprocal. Like it always ends up being one-sided.
Well,
and I end up feeling, you know.
Sally, this is an important thing you're saying right here. You felt this way forever. So as you become an adult, it's hard not to have those perceptions of how you think others are going to treat you, see you, regard you. And sometimes we can even be a part of our own challenge that we don't feel worthy to be seen. We don't feel as though others will see us, therefore we're not assertive enough. But who treated you in a ghost-like manner?
Well, just even I've had 5 different appointments with friends this week, and they all canceled on me. And then the person today that kind of like jumped, it kind of was like the end of the broke the back for me, was that the person today, they just didn't even show up at all. And I tried to text them and call them. And this happened five times within the last 7 days.
Aww.
And so it's kind of like,
Sally,
that's
nothing to chuckle about. I know you're, I get the little laugh in your voice, but as a little girl, somebody didn't see you, and you weren't seen, you weren't regarded, your personhood wasn't valued, and you said, I felt like a ghost forever, and I'm just saying, who treated you that way?
I don't really know. Like, I remember one time, I think when I was 5 years old, the story is that I left the house, and then I remember the instance I was hanging out at these guys' house. Like, I had no idea who they were. They were just, because we lived in an apartment building. But what the story was is that I had left the house, and I was over there at these people's house, and I think I was over there for quite a long time before my mom apparently, like, realized I was missing, and then she, like, came out and she couldn't find me for several hours or something. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to blame her, but, like, I remember that, you know. But even then, I came from a really big family, you know, and the family's really loud and, like, you know, there's like, got lots of big personalities in my family. And so who knows, you know, like, it could be that I never got to learn the skills on how to build closer relationships, you know, and I really want to. I desire it in my heart. Like, I really want to have, like, close friends that
sure.
care about me and that I can care about them, and we can, you know, go through, you know, laugh together and cry together. But
Sally,
I don't have that. All I have is, like, really surface things in my life right now.
Sally, we want to help you with this, and something is really standing out to us.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was incorrect in what I was going towards previously. I don't think it's something that you're doing
mm-hmm.
as much as something that you're not doing. It's almost mm-hmm. like you have learned to be small, and other
mm-hmm.
people made you small in your family of origin. And so I wonder if your husband and your son, it's not that they're necessarily bothered by something about you, but just that you have such a small presence in your home. So if you happen to also be a people pleaser and maybe a conflict avoider, even though we're there, we can seem invisible because we don't have strong opinions, or we don't express them, or we don't sort of push our point. If we feel any pushback from other people, we kind of give up. And so you may have become kind of a very small part of your son and your husband's life, despite your best attempts. I would ask you to really look into this people-pleasing, perhaps conflict-avoiding side, and working on expressing opinions, even figuring out what they are, because you may not always know what they are, to become a stronger presence, to fill out who Sally is for your husband and your son.
Hmm. You know, I've just got to throw this in. I was listening to a lecture on pornography, I'm going to clean up the language here, but the woman said that a man who has used pornography, either a woman is usable or invisible to him. And we live in a culture that really, the more pornography becomes a problem, the more women are treated invisibly and have to work to be seen, noticed, loved, and appreciated. And I wonder, what is the disconnection with this man to you? Because you want a man that's starting to draw you out and see that you're not feeling appreciated, and he starts to honor you and gives you courage and strength and undergirds you and builds you up. That's what we want to see in him. We'll talk more about this right after this.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and I want to wrap up by saying that, Sally, if we could get you and your husband over to the marriage weekend, I'm going to send you Mylan Kay's book, How We Love, and you're going to see some stuff in there about how you relate to him to you, some attachment style. It's going to be very, very helpful. But if there was ever a situation where a couple could benefit by sitting down with a counselor and saying, and you're saying, here, I feel invisible, and he's saying, well, here's why, or here's how I feel about her, you guys have work to do, and you can turn this around for the sake of your marriage, but more so, even for the sake of a six-year-old boy who needs a strong mom connected to and engaged with. I mean, it really is important. And so we're going to try to get you some help in that way. But you'll love, I mean, I think you'll see yourself in a way you never had before when I send this to you, How We Love. In the studio right now is Larry. And Larry, speaking of How We Love and Mylan, we've got a great, great feature of Club New Life now.
We do. The thank you gift when you join Club New Life is a set of four videos. It's on a thumb drive. We'll send that to you. And the four videos, one is Anger and Love Styles. Two is Parenting Your Adult Kids. A third one is Talking to Kids About Sex. And the fourth one is 12 Questions That Will Change Any Relationship. And I got to view those not long ago, and they are just outstanding, Mylan. You and Kay, these are four original talks that you guys have never done before. Is that right?
We have not done them at this extent or at this level. There are things we've talked about in the past, but we've developed them further.
The video for, just yeah. For, yeah.
We did it for
I've
you guys.
I've heard nothing but great things about the folks that saw you and watched you and edited and all of that. Can you give us one question in the 12 that change a relationship? Not that I'm trying to change any relationship or anything like that.
Yeah.
Got my pencil. What is it?
Got my pencil.
Yeah.
Well, it when we are struggling in relationship, oftentimes people are stressed. And we simply, the first question would be, tell me what's stressing you. Mm-hmm. And what is the thing or the process or the mechanism of stress? What, and then the second question is, give me three feeling words that you feel under this stress. And, you know, we try and talk people out of why they should be stressed, or we try to talk people out of what they think about things. But instead, we try and go into an emotional and also the somatic response to stress. What is your body feeling right now? What's happening to your heart rate, et cetera, et cetera. Working toward the ability to comfort them and create some resolution.
And a real powerful thing is that you help, you stress the importance of listening.
Mm, yeah.
And help people listen and not interrupt and not get it defensive. Just listen.
So, yeah, it is a listening process that ultimately takes people around the comfort circle, but with some very guided questions that help them really narrow in on what is exactly happening to the person at this time.
So that's, well, it's a big way for us to say thanks.
Yeah.
And we're glad you did it, and it's our gift. And so, Larry, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, so that's the thank you gift if you'll join Club New Life. It's $30 or more per month. If you're a current Club New Life member, if you would increase your giving $5 a month, we'd like to send this to you as well. And so it's an easy thing to do. You can call us at 800 New Life is the easiest way to get it done, and to get it done well and right. And we have a library of videos as well that it's over a couple hundred videos strong now. Mylan and Alice have each done videos for that. Alice is going to stay after today and
do
some more videos.
Got some good topics.
So
it's a great library. The only way you can get it is Club New Life, and you can join Club New Life, $30 a month. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the number. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. All right, let's go to, how about we talk with Felicia, Shreveport, Louisiana. Listens on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Felicia, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, how can we help?
I have a question, and I don't know if we can unpack it in just a few minutes, but I'm a person that has extreme insecurity, and I struggle spiritually and also in my marriage. And so my biggest struggle right now, as far as in my marriage, is just kind of just feeling like I'm always in a state of suspicion of my husband. And not that I feel like he's had an affair or anything like that, but I just feel like I'm constantly watching him to see if he notices other women and things like that. And it's pretty bad. It's a bondage, certainly. And
does he notice other women?
I think he does. And there are some things that have happened that I feel like have certainly increased, you know, being an insecure person to begin with, even before
like what?
We were married.
What's happened?
You know, just never feeling pretty enough, or just never feeling enough. You know, just feeling like maybe other people or other women are prettier than I, or just attract him more than I. I don't really know where it came from,
yeah.
But I've
well,
always
the thing
been
is,
that way. But it's
you. Okay, let me interrupt. You could be married to somebody who loves you, tells you you're beautiful, notices you, and somebody walks in a room in a gold dress or something, and his head whips around, and he's, wow, that's a stunning dress. There's another kind of guy that every time you go out, no matter what he tells you at home, he's looking at every female that everyone catches his eye, and you would be right to be quite upset about that. Now which scenario is he more like?
I think that's hard to, I don't think he's the second, certainly not. I think that I assume he's looking more than he really is. And he, you know, I definitely am, it's hard to be very clear about what's going on because he's mm-hmm. not here to express what's going on on his side.
But you what see has things and
really, I'm sorry, it cut out.
No, go ahead. What's been the big problem?
Okay, but what I feel like has been the biggest push for me being so super insecure at this moment is about 8 years ago, our son had a brain aneurysm, and so we had a pretty intense trauma. And while he was recovering, there was a PT that was involved in his recovery. It was also a friend of ours from our hometown. And it's, you know, who really loved our son and had such a personal interest in him, but she's also very beautiful and very young. And it started out to where they were texting each other about the situation, no inappropriate content in the text, but it was just he and her texting. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not comfortable with that. I feel like this either, number one, needs to be a group text, or she needs to be texting me. Yeah.
And how did you handle that?
I asked him to, you know, to either change the dynamic of it, make it a group text, mm-hmm. or just, you know, get her diverted to me. And then let she and I communicate. That's how, you know, I told him it made me really uncomfortable. And of course, he said, you know, you're really reading into this. Hmm. I'm sorry.
His response was, you're reading more into it than it is there. He didn't.
You're making this something it's not, you know, and I just. Really, you're overreacting. You know, we're just desperate to hear some good news about our son. And she's, you know, she's very positive and upbeat about his recovery. Okay. And I do understand that because I was struggling.
We're about out of time, and I want Mylon to start us off here. And then, Alice, what are you thinking, Mylon, so far here?
Well, insecurity is the great saboteur. It sabotages everything. It sabotages, and I appreciate you saying this earlier, that it sabotages your relationship with the Lord because it makes me question how secure I am with Him. It makes me question my prayer life, my thought life. It causes me to approach life through a lens that causes me to be fearful and phobic and hypervigilant about everything I look at. But the interesting thing about that lens, and one of the ways Kay and I say this in our lectures is that history grinds the lens through which we look at life today. And so I would have to get you to really, if you really want to work on this whole anxiety piece, which I come from an anxiety background as well, Felicia. But I took the time to trace back to the anxious places and occasions in my life that created this deep insecurity that caused me to be hypervigilant and watch every move a person made. So I could try to interpret it in a positive or negative way so I could soothe myself and tell myself I was going to be okay. And so to realize that mechanism is toxic, it's unhealthy, but it was something I learned early, and it was imposed upon me by other people. I had to learn to grow out of that. And when we come back from the break, I'm sure Alice has a thought about that too.
We'll be back right after this. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. We've got a brand new workshop coming up. It's January the 25th. And we're going to do it in Washington, D.C. It's a New Life Weekend. We're calling it Finding Freedom. And I don't know where you're stuck, but you can be free. We're going to talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. And it'll include the things that help you find that path to getting your life on track and staying on track. There'll be 8 teaching sessions, 6 small group sessions, and you can find out about it and sign up for it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us, talk to us if you want to be free. Finding Freedom, January the 25th, great way to start the year. You call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking to Felicia about her insecurity. Mylan has a couple of things, and then we'll turn it over to Alice.
Well, when I would find myself being hypervigilant and also watching and observing other people's behaviors or questioning God and whether he was going to be faithful to a promise or whether he'd answer my prayer or whether I was worthy of him listening to me, I would stop right then when I began to recognize a pattern. I would say, this is the old me. This is the old me. This is not what God wants me to be. And in Ephesians, it says I'm to lay aside the old self. I'm just to lay it aside. I'm supposed to cast it aside. So hundreds and thousands of times I would say to myself, as these situations would occur, this is the old me. This is not the new me. I'm not going to watch them anymore. I'm not going to project into them what I think they're thinking, and I'm going to decide that I will work on something that's more direct, clear, and if I have a question, I'll ask, and if there's something they want to say, they can tell me, but I'm not going to imagine a conversation going on that I invented in my head that I've been doing for 40 years. Hmm. And so I had to examine the way I was treating those relationships and change it.
Okay. Alice, a comment here.
Well, Felicia, Mylan mentioned history, and with what he just said, I'd have you examine whether or not an infidelity in the past, whether it was on the part of your father, a brother, somebody else that you dated, may be overshadowing the present with your husband. Mm-hmm. So consider that. But also, you may have a gut instinct that might actually be true. Unfortunately, there may be something going on with your husband. And our partners tend to respond either with gaslighting, where they kind of turn it back on us. If you're crazy for thinking that, what are you talking about? Or they could be defensive because it's true they're not doing anything. But I would have you then bring your fears and insecurities to your husband in a non-accusatory way. So when the issue's not happening, right, the texts with the PT are not currently happening, but rather to approach him with vulnerability to say, I'm afraid and I feel insecure and I need and want reassurance of your love. Would you tell me how you think about me, how you feel about me? Would you reassure me of your commitment to me? So men tend to be more open to that versus when they're accused of something, especially if they're not doing it, it puts them on the defensive. But I'm sorry to say, you may also need to question him because sometimes our radar of, oh, something's going on is accurate.
Okay. All right. So you check it out. You deal with reality. I mean, he did have this problem with the person working with the son. He wasn't sensitive to you. And I think the main thing is you need to continue to talk, work through it, get help if you need it. We have workshops that can do that. Our intimacy and marriage coming up the 15th. It's a good one. I'm going to send How We Love to you. And if you guys could just read that together, I think it would bring you together. It is powerful. My wife is going over that with her recovery group that she's facilitating. And the women just go crazy over this stuff. It's so insightful. How We Love coming your way. Let's go to Terry, final caller. Ellicott City, Maryland. Hi there, Terry. How are you?
Hi.
I don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to get to your call. Yeah.
Well, I hope there's enough time. I have an issue with my son, who is addicted to marijuana and has been for 5 years.
Does he live with you?
And he's, yes, he's going on 22 years old, and it's had an effect on his life. He's not mm-hmm. motivated really to do much, and I think he's fearful. He doesn't even drive a car.
Okay, and so
what
are his plans? Is he getting help? Is he doing anything?
He's going to college, the community college. He's been doing very well, but he doesn't seem to want to leave the nest.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And he's very dishonest about the addiction. I have him in a counseling session once a week. I don't ask him any questions about how it's going, but I hope he's being honest with the counselor, but I don't see any improvement. And I was considering yesterday that maybe I'm part of the problem and that maybe I'm enabling him. Mm. And I did call, I called the phone number for New Life. They're sending me 2 CDs on codependency.
Okay. Well, Alice, what do you think here? Let's find out from Alice, because I'm just out of time, what she thinks might be most helpful for you and him.
Terry, it must be really distressing to see your son stuck like this. Getting him in therapy was a great move, and calling for help and evaluating yourself and whether or not you're enabling is also just the right path to be on. And I would guess that your suspicion about yourself is probably correct, that your 21-year-old son is still living with you, probably enjoying your support, maybe financial support, enjoying a lot of things, privileges from you, perhaps without earning them, especially at his age. John Townsend wrote a fantastic book about just this very thing. It's called The Entitlement Cure. Hmm. And it gives parents steps to put an action plan into place that will allow an adult son like this to experience more of the consequences of his behavior in order to motivate him to launch, in order to motivate him to develop independence. And it assists you in looking at ways that you have exacerbated the problem and just trying to love him well, but it might have actually kept him stuck. Because probably one of the most loving things you can do is begin to allow him to experience the consequences of his choices. It will be painful, but it's a healing pain that will bring him greater freedom in the long run. And so with that counselor, the last piece I'd add is, you said you're not asking questions. I'd actually have it be a requirement, if I were you, that you be in touch with that counselor on a regular basis. Let the counselor know you want an action plan for your son's independence, and that if, as long as he's living with you, you need to be in contact with that counselor so you can hear the progress of your son and you can bring up your concerns.
Mm-hmm. Needs to be two-way. I am so sorry we're out of time there, but this is so common. And, you know, the only thing worse than a 21-year-old living with you and not motivated and not working, and you're essentially buying their drugs because you give them a place to live and rent-free and all that, is to have a 41-year-old still living with you. And we see that happening more and more. And so at some point, you have to do the tough thing. The sooner you do the tough, loving thing, the better the result. It really is. So I hope something we've said here can encourage you. Get with that codependency group, get with that life recovery group, do whatever you can do that will strengthen you, and be sure you and your husband can get on the same page, if at all possible, on this issue. Neither of you want a boy who can't survive and thrive on his own and is still living back home. Well, Every Man's Battle is coming up February the 8th in San Jose, and we would love to see you come to this. I think ever since the Me Too movement, we had more and more men call, not getting caught, just saying, I've got to deal with this. And you know what? You do. This isn't like just going out and having a couple of beers and putting it down. It becomes your life. It infects everything. We want to help you with it. The New Life Weekend, Finding Freedom, January the 25th in D.C. Mylon, me, Kay, and all of our team, Intimacy and Marriage, February the 15th in Orange County. That's a great place to come to a workshop for intimacy. It will make a difference. And then Restore for women who have been betrayed sexual integrity issue on the part of the spouse. It's going to help you so much. And then you can come and join us. It's not too late to sign up for Israel, March 16th through the 26th. We'd love to have you there. We need you to help us. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We want to help you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And that's why we have great folks like Milan Yurkovich, Dr. Alice Benton. Thank you guys for being here. Have a great, great January. See you next
time.
Thanks
for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.